Today's gospel comes from Luke. Jesus tells a parable about a son who ponders his father's love only after he has spurned it. The grace he receives is beyond his hopes. That same grace is a crisis for the older brother who believes it was his obedience that earned his place in his father's home. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property into desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went to hire himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? And here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine who was dead is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called to one of the slaves and asked him what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, and because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have worked like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who devoured your property with prostitutes, and you killed the fatted calf for him?' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are with me always, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. When I first encountered the story of the prodigal son, I was a junior in high school. I was a rule follower, a do-gooder, and I thought that was the point in life. You follow the rules, you do what you're supposed to, and God rewards you for it. So, as a 16-year-old and new to the church altogether, the story of the prodigal son was honestly the most offensive thing I'd ever heard. All I could see was the point of the elder son, and the father just didn't get it. This story has eaten at me for the last 15 years, and with this time it has grown in new ways and allowed me to experience God beyond my understanding of my youth, which was far more based in a sense of karma than of grace. Our gospel story starts with the Pharisees and scribes grumbling about Jesus' welcome, friendship, and dining habits with tax collectors and sinners. As they were questioning why this teacher would be fraternizing with those people, Jesus interrupts their grumbling with a few parables of the lost and found. Today's reading highlights the prodigal son. There are two sons, and the younger asks for his share of inheritance early. He receives it and goes out to squander it. With worse luck still, there is a severe famine in the country that he has lavishly wandered to, and when his money and food run out, he is forced into hard labor and caring for pigs. He is so hungry, he would gladly eat the pig's food. This low point causes him to realize that even his father's slaves are given food to eat, and he would be better off to return home as a slave. On his long walk home, the father sees him in the distance and runs to him. With compassion, he embraces him and joyfully celebrates his return. As the son is making amends and about to ask to become a slave, his father cuts him off and asks the slaves instead to bring him the robes, the best robes, rings, and sandals, all the works for this son, and kill the fatted calf to celebrate. For this son that was dead is alive again. What was lost has been found. All is joyful and celebratory until the older brother finds out. He is in the field working, and he hears the celebration and music and asks the slave what is going on. The slave shares that his younger brother has returned, and in celebration they have killed the fatted calf and are throwing a great party. The elder brother refuses to join in the celebrations. Just as the father left the house to greet his younger son, he again leaves the house to talk to his older son. He pleads with the older son to join them. The elder son is angry because he has done all the things he is supposed to. He has slaved away in his father's fields. He has not squandered his money or left the family. He has always obeyed his father's command. And his father has not even spared a young goat for he and his friends. But the father assures the elder son, "You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." The story ends with the father proclaiming in celebration, "This brother of yours that was dead has come to life. What was lost has been found." Now, as I studied this parable of the prodigal son more, I discovered that I don't really even know what the word prodigal means. It's one of those words that has become so connected with the biblical story that I've never heard it used plainly, not in reference to this story. Another reason for my curiosity is that I've always heard this story titled The Prodigal Son. But as I was studying, a resource I came across called it The Prodigal Father and The Repentant Son. So who was prodigal? And what on earth does that mean anyway? The first definition of prodigal is spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully extravagant. This sounds a lot like the younger son who squandered away his early inheritance. But then there was a second definition, having or giving something on a lavish scale. And that sounds just like the father who already gave his son an early inheritance and then went on to kill the fatted calf and give the best robes, rings, and sandals to dress his returned son in. So I guess they're both prodigal. And really, so is God. God gives unconditional love lavishly to every person throughout creation. God's love is generous, extravagant, and unending. Likewise, God gives grace freely and recklessly. It is not reserved just for the devout, the holy, or religious. It is given to the broken, the sinner, and the one who everyone has written off or given up on. But God is free and reckless in continual giving of grace. Freely given, not based on how God's laws have been followed, but based on the love God has for God's people. And reckless in loving the one whose story or past would say it's a bad bet, but God always gives grace anyway. God doesn't wait for the person to earn it or prove it, that they have changed, but God rejoices in receiving that one in grace, no matter how reckless it may be. The thing that most changed my understanding of this story, though, was a song. The few lines that moved me from seeing only as the elder brother finally gave words to what I understand grace to be. Now, it's not a hymn in our hymnal. It's actually a song that's on the radio, and I don't know if the artist Mumford & Sons intended it to be about the prodigal son. But these lines from the song, "Roll Away Your Stone," interpret the heart of this story better than any commentary could. While the whole song is chock full of great lines to reflect on, this part caught me. "It seems that all my bridges have been burned, but you say that's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive with every start." It wasn't about how much the son had repented, or how sorry he was, or how he'd tried to right his wrongs that would change his heart. It was grace. Grace is the welcome. Grace is the Father running out to receive him with compassion and rejoicing in his return. If it were about the long walk home, we wouldn't even need God. Just a good pair of shoes and we could do the rest on our own. But it's about grace. It's about what happens in life when you've burned every bridge and somehow grace is the only way out. God is always there, waiting to welcome us. Grace doesn't keep a score. Grace is recklessly not about what the person deserves or earns. Grace is about God's love lived out. God's redemption, compassion, and wholeness being the only option left over and over and over again. And it's never about the walk. The beauty about a parable is that we're invited to take on different roles as we understand it. The characters are set up in different ways so you can relate at different points in your life. You can grow deeper in understanding a parable by reading it from perspectives of each character. Maybe you've been the younger son and made choices and become painfully aware of the bridges you've burned and the mistakes you've made either in relationships or your relationship with God. How have you been welcomed by grace? Maybe you're the elder son, angry when life is not fair, hurt when God's justice is about grace and not settling scores, uncertain that the Father's love is abundant enough for the one who's always done right and the one who squandered it all. Caught up in the day-to-day work of life that you might not recognize that you have always had the Father and shared in what is his. How have you been offended by who God's grace welcomes or worried that would there still be enough for you? Maybe you've been the Father, rejoicing in what was lost being found, overjoyed by what was dead is now alive again. And how could you not give the best of everything and thanks for that gift to welcome what has come to life? How have you celebrated new life with others and welcomed them in grace? No matter where you may be in this prodigal story, hold fast and trust that we have a prodigal God. One who gives grace lavishly, who loves abundantly, unconditionally, and extravagantly. Whose reckless giving of grace is bigger than any wreck we may find ourselves in. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.